Here's it.
So we had our night of worship on Friday. We do that kind of first and third Fridays of every month. Just sit in the living room, welcome the presence of God. And this week was really good. I was in particular struck by one of our songs where we're just saying, I love your presence. And really just did not want to move from that place of, man, the presence of God, it is so good to just sit and be in his presence. And then you're kind of mulling on the presence of God. You know, it's such a churchy word, a thing that we say a lot. And I'm like, man, what does like the presence of God really mean? How can we just sit and soak and be in his presence? And then, you know, all of a sudden you start thinking like, or at least I do, or one thought leaps to another and it just gets very big and a very existential very quick where, okay, the presence of God. Yeah, what does that mean? Can the presence of God be in our living room? Like, if you think about, could our living room hold the fullness of God? No, like if we think about who God is, the fullness of him, our little living room can't like contain that, right? Like probably all of Loveland can't contain the fullness of God. I don't think our world could. I don't think our galaxy could. Probably not even our entire universe could contain the fullness of who God is. It's very, very crazy stuff. So be thinking about the fullness of God. Anywho, we are talking about miracles that Jesus did this morning, where we're looking at miracles Jesus performed and our invitation to partner to continue doing what he did. As Marshall opened with this morning, that we get to do even greater things. So our miracle for our last message in the series is going to be about a Roman centurion and his servant. So if you've got a Bible, want to follow along, we're going to read from Matthew 8. Otherwise, it will be up on the screen as well. So Matthew 8, starting at verse 5. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking for help. Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed in terrible anguish. Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Instead, just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I, too, am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my slave, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. I'm going to pause there, like, Jesus was amazed. I don't know. I'm like, man, that's pretty cool. I want to be able to amaze Jesus, right? Like, what a fun thing. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those who followed him, I tell you the truth. I have not found such faith in anyone in Israel. I tell you, many will come from the east and west to share the banquet with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be thrown out into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, just as you believed, it will be done for you. And the servant was healed at that hour. Pretty cool story of yet another healing Jesus performs. Now, if you are like, what the heck is a centurion? That's a word you read a lot, but what is going on here? Something I want to kind of focus on this morning is the fact that he's not exactly like popular. It's a little bit surprising that this is going to be our hero in the story, right? He's Roman. He's an outsider. He's working for the guy that people are thinking, oh, Jesus is here to overturn Rome, to be the new king. And yet this is the person that comes and says, hey, I recognize your authority. This is the person that Jesus is coming and and healing his servant. And a couple messages ago, we talked about, you know, we opened the series with talking about water to wine. Jesus performed that miracle. And his mother came to him and just presented the problem, but didn't say, here's how this is going to go. Here's exactly how you fix it. So he considered what it would be like to just come before Jesus. Let him know, hey, here's the problem. But it's your kingdom come. Your will be done. And we kind of see an interesting thing happen here where our centurion doesn't just present a problem, he then argues with Jesus. Because Jesus says, okay, I'll come to your house and I'll heal him. And he says, nope, don't come. Don't enter my house. I'm not worthy of it. Just say the word. And here I think there's this really interesting, like he's not acting out a false humility. There's not this like groveling, oh, I am but a worm. Do not come to my house. Like, but there's a deep understanding of the authority that Jesus carries. I'm not worthy that you come to my house. I see your authority. But just say the word. He points out, hey, I am under Rome's authority. And so others are under my authority. Because of the authority I have in Rome, I get to say things and they happen. People respond. And he looks at Jesus and says, I see it. I get it. You carry that same authority. You're doing what the Father is doing. And if you say it, things happen. And so he's got this respect, this humility, understanding that authority. And like I said, he doesn't grovel. He still comes with an ask. He still approaches. Here he is, somebody that has power, but he uses it for someone else. He comes on behalf of someone else's suffering. He comes humbly. So I'm just going to have us consider this morning that maybe there's something here, a connection between compassion and authority. We also talked about how today is Pentecost Sunday. So I'm going to have us look really quickly at that. So that's going to be in Acts 2. Now when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a violent wind came blowing from heaven and filled the entire house where they were sitting. These are the disciples all sitting together. And tongues spreading out like a fire appeared to them and came to rest on each one of them. And they're all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation, wide gathering, all staying together, residing in Jerusalem. And when the sound occurred, a crowd gathered and was in confusion because each one heard them speaking in their own language. Completely baffled, they said, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? So how is it that we're hearing them speak in our own language here? How is it that you're hearing them in, you know, Spanish, or how is it that you're hearing it in like Italian, right? Like, he goes through the list of all the different areas that are hearing them in their own tongue. We hear them all speaking our own language about the great deeds God has done. All were astounded and greatly confused, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others jeered, saying, they're drunk on new wine. So then Peter gets up to give this amazing sermon. People hear. Many are added to their numbers that day. They respond. So in Pentecost, we see the arrival of the Holy Spirit. And we also see this breaking down of barriers, culture, language, background. Holy Spirit is at work. He's not going to let something like language stop what he's doing. In God's kingdom, every culture, every language is honored. One day we're going to sing every tribe, every tongue together. We're all created in his image, in his likeness. Could talk about how, you know, in Babel we saw the languages dispersed, and this is kind of the opposite of that. We're coming together and unifying. But I really want to focus today on the fact that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Is everyone familiar with the idea of the incarnation? Is that a word that sounds familiar? So the incarnation, we talk a lot about it, like Christmas. Jesus is fully divine, fully God, and fully human, without compromise. It's one of those really hard to wrap your mind around things. Fully God, fully human. In Colossians 2, it says, "For in him all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form." So just earlier, we were talking about, hey, do we think the fullness of God can dwell in like a singular room? Do we think even our galaxy can contain the fullness of God? No. And yet, fully God, fully human. And then when you think about how we are created in the image and the likeness of God, created to do the things that he did, it should make us really like wrestle with, think about the impact of like our humanity, our humanness. "For in him all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form, and you have been filled in him, who is head over every ruler and authority." It's a crazy thought. Fullness of God, full deity, full man in Jesus. And he has sent us that Spirit. Pentecost invites us into that same reality, a new creation where God and humanity work in harmony to bring healing, reconciliation, restoration, partnering with God. It isn't just empowerment for individuals. I've said the prayer, I'm going to do this on my own. But it's an invitation to join a mission. There's barriers being broken down. It's not just about, hey, the Spirit's going to come and do this thing that I want. It's going to serve my needs. But a complete transformation, forming a people who act like Jesus. So in our story of the centurion, I talked about authority. And then our last verse, we just saw, you know, he's been filled in him who is the head over every ruler and authority. So when I say the word authority, what comes up in you? What happens inside? So like, oh yeah, authority. I love being under authority. And if you can just give me directions, then I'm set. I do not want any authority. Or is it like, ooh, authority? Don't like that. Don't like being told what to do. Don't like any piece of that. Poor Marshall and I run into this every once in a while where he's like, hey, you mentioned you were going to go do this thing. Do you want to do it? I'm like, I did, but now that you've told me to do it, I don't want to do it anymore. That's something I'm working on. I'm not saying that we should do that. Something I'm aware of. But many of us have these informed opinions about authority. We're not just coming up with this out of nowhere. We've had experience that have shaped our understanding, our relationship with authority. Many of us have seen it abused. Maybe we grew up in homes where, you know, you will respect my authority. means living under this like almost harmful control. Maybe we've been in churches where spiritual authority hurt us instead of healed us. Or that you'll respect my spiritual authority has been so, so damaging, so painful, wrongly used. But then we look at the centurion. He used authority for the sake of someone else. He recognized that real power sometimes comes from speaking on behalf of those who can't. We look at Pentecost. Spirit didn't erase culture, but works through it. It's not just about sameness. It's unity with these differences being honored. So what if authority, real authority in the kingdom, also means holding compassion and humility? What if we can't separate these things? What if the Spirit empowers us not just for these like spiritual fireworks and feel-good moments, the high on the mountaintop thing? What if the Spirit works for reconciliation, healing, showing up for others? And here's kind of some questions I've been wrestling on this week. Am I like a person who uses what God has given me? Am I somebody that uses my influence, my time, my voice for compassion? Are we a people who use what God has given us, our influence, our time, our voice for compassion? Are we stewarding the Spirit's power with humility and love? Or am I ignoring it? I don't know. That seems hard and scary. Am I just looking at that as, well, here's what I need? Or I'm going to look at the spiritual power and think, well, that's something I can manipulate and hoard for myself, and now I feel so much better than those lowly people. When I say it like that, it's like, easy to brush off, but if you like really sit and wrestle with it, what is our response to spiritual power? If we've received authority like the centurion recognized, if we've been filled with the same Spirit poured out at Pentecost, are we living like a people who carry kingdom power with a servant heart? Are we acting in that way? We love Patty Putman, who is great at 2x2 matrices. So if you like a good 2x2 matrix, I've got one for you this morning. It's going to help us kind of talk about this authority piece. So he introduces this idea of like praying and authority, where we've got like less God or more of God, and less of me, more of me. And so we can pray in these different ways. So if we have less God, less me, what do you think a prayer that's less God, less me looks like? I'm really sorry you're hurting. I'll pray for you sometime. Maybe God will do something about that. We can hope that God will do something. There. Sorrows. So less God, less me is maybe not how we want to be praying. We want to show up with expectation. You know, the good vineyard saying, can I pray for you right now, right? So we don't want to work out of less God, less me. Then we see that there is trying to remember in my notes which one I did next. Oh, thank you. No, that was perfect. Less God, more me. So what might a prayer like that look like? Well, maybe we've had a good prayer experience before where we really did see the Spirit move. We saw someone get healed. We saw someone changed. So I bet if I do it exactly like that, just from now on, I found the secret, I found the way to do it, and so if I pray like that, then people are going to be healed. Or maybe we think, oh, there's just this right amount of words. Or I have to talk very big and I have to profess and I'm just going to claim it and God's going to come and he's going to work in this place. We're going to make this happen, right? Like, I'm just going to pray hard enough and God will come. We'll see some healing. But then we know that doesn't always work. The thing that worked at one point, some point, we pray that way, we follow the exact same things, and we don't see healing. All of a sudden, we start feeling maybe like a tightness in our chest when we pray of, I really need this to work. I'm feeling really burned out because I just keep praying and I keep trying, and no matter what I do, it doesn't seem to work. And I'm just so tired of praying and nothing I do pans out. Well, maybe God will work, but I don't know. If I can just kind of do everything I can to control what will happen, the outcome. I don't want to pray if I'm not 100% sure because I just can't handle the disappointment of the person that doesn't get healed. So we don't want to be less God, more me. Now, I think some of us think it's like a very holy, sacred thing to pray more God, less me. It's a very tempting thing to be like, I just don't want to get in the way of what the Holy Spirit's doing. So I'm going to introduce the Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, and then, okay, I don't want to mess anything up. So I'm going to step back. Or that sense of, okay, God, it's like, it's all you. I am but a worm, you know, but like, I'm human. I don't carry any of this authority. It's not on me. So God, if you want to do this, then I guess it's all up to you. And so we like step back, put our hands up and say, okay. We also know that we're created in the image and the likeness of God. So I want to explore a little bit this idea of more God, more me. I think when we think about like how the Bible was written, we think God just like took over somebody and they like wrote in a daze. But he worked through people. So what would that look like in our kingdom ministry to work with God? We have this thing called the five-step prayer model where we ask them, hey, what's happening? How can I pray for you? And then we listen. We do our diagnosis of, okay, they said their arm's hurting. Okay, come Holy Spirit. I'm going to listen, see what God wants to do. And then we pray for people. Come, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we ask that your arm be healed, whatever it is we're praying for. And then we check in. We say, hey, how is your arm doing? Is it feeling better? Is it feeling worse? What's happening? What's your pain level at now, right? We check in. And then, oh, great, you're healed. Well, let's thank God together. Or, oh, it's a little bit better. All right, let's pray some more. There's this back and forth of I am coming forward and I am praying with expectation. We're having a conversation about it. God, what are you doing? Okay, how can I work with what you're doing? Oh, we're praying about their arm, but seems like God has some emotional healing for you too. Okay, let's lean into that. God, I will pray into that. Okay, what's happening in you now? There's this dialogue, there's this meeting, this partnership that happens when it's more God, more me. We're working together. We embrace God with us, God through us. So ministry is this really interesting balance of things that we think are opposite sides of like a spectrum, things that can't coexist. It's doing what the Spirit is doing, following in his obedience. There's a great book called Strong and Weak. What if these things aren't on just opposite sides? You can only be one or the other, but how do we do both? How do we lean into authority and vulnerability? How do we walk like the centurion with courage and humility? Maybe in the kingdom, it's all about working with God's power. But we cannot lose sight of his compassion. It's both. That's what we saw in Jesus. Just talked about all of these miracles that he performed. The power of God moving. And in every one of those, he was compassionate. We don't want to be so caught up in praying either, oh, I'm just going to step out of the way, or no, I'm going to seize control, that we lose sight of the person that we're praying for. Everything we do must be out of love for them. So Pentecost shows this partnership. God pours out his Spirit, and we actively respond. Ministry is both God and human, both working together in partnership, working together in tandem. So the band's going to come back up. We're going to have an invitation opportunity to lean in. So we've been talking about miracles that Jesus did. And each sermon, we talked about how we're invited to follow his lead. So as we finish the sermon, as we wrap up, or the series, what are you going to do with that? Are we going to leave this series going, cool, I sure learned some things, and just continue like we would any other day? Or do you sense an invitation from the Spirit saying, maybe things won't be the same after this. Maybe there is an invitation to be a little bold, to pray with that expectation, to expect miracles here and now. So maybe some of us need to just hear Jesus say the word over us again. Maybe some of us have been operating out of authority, but it's not Jesus' authority. It's our own. Maybe we need to surrender that authority that we've been clinging on to. Or maybe we've been choosing not to operate in Jesus' authority. Maybe we've been like so fearful, so bashful, so scared that, oh, I'm just not going to touch that. There's an invitation to step forward and say, no, like I am going to operate under Jesus' authority. I'm going to surrender to his authority. Maybe some of us need to step into a life where compassion and boldness are not at odds. I think sometimes I step back from being bold because I really don't want to make somebody feel uncomfortable. And what if we're missing out on ministry opportunities because of that? What if God really does want to heal somebody? Spiritually, emotionally, physically. And we've already said no for them because, well, I might risk making them feel uncomfortable. How would it look to go about that compassionately? I'm not saying we just beat them over the head with the Bible stick. It's not what I'm talking about. We can be compassionate in that. We can be mindful when we ask about praying for people. We can respect their no when they say, like, no thanks, I don't want that today. Boldness and compassion don't have to be at odds. So my invitation for prayer this morning is anyone who just feels like spiritually passive right now, spiritually powerless, and you're ready. You're like, okay, I will operate under the authority of Jesus. I want to step into that. Maybe you're feeling burdened by injustice. And you want to walk in Jesus' authority. And there's some stuff that needs to be moved out of the way. Maybe you're like, no, I've got the authority piece down. But sometimes it's really hard to like the people I'm praying for. Maybe you need some compassion stirred up. Maybe you need God to rekindle that love and compassion for others. So if any of those things feel like something you resonate with, you're like, yes, I want more authority, or yes, I need more compassion, I encourage you to just put your hands out in a receiving position. I'm going to pray. So come, Holy Spirit. We ask for that like fresh infilling, that fresh stirring up of your Spirit. You're already here. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of that. Lord, we ask that we wouldn't like just see spiritual gifts, but that those gifts would come as we humbly come before you. That they would come as we continue to be transformed. That our hearts would be molded more like yours. I ask that as we finish this series, we wouldn't leave the same. But that you'd be stirring up a new work in every single one of us.